Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle.
Hey, he's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
We
Davis, and welcome to the Pittsburgh Steelers final score. As you see tonight, 23-20, the game just ending in Cincinnati. Really excited about the Steelers' win, but a huge heavy heart worrying about the health and safety of Steeler linebacker Ryan Shazier. So a lot to talk about tonight. The number one thing is Ryan Shazier's health. That everything else is secondary. But the secondary is actually pretty good when you see the Steelers come back from 17-0 down and go ahead and win the game. Steeler final score is brought to you, as always, by Behind the Steel Curtain and Frank Walker Law, the top criminal defense firm to call in Western Pennsylvania and West Virginia, and home to one of the nation's top 100-ranked trial attorneys in Frank Walker. For his Pennsylvania office, call 412-212-3878. Or to reach his West Virginia office, call 304-712-2089. Also, check out his website, frankwalkerlaw.com, to see how he can help you in your time of need. Frank Walker Law, real talk, real experience, real results. With me, as always, is my fine friend from the Pittsburgh area, Anthony DeFeo, BTSC's American Dream. Anthony, good evening, my friend.
Good evening, Brian, and happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
I hope it was a good one.
It was a really, really good birthday. I appreciate that. Lots of family and friends. Lots of wishes. You sent me a wish. You remember my birthday. I really appreciate that, my friend. Thank you so much. And
that's my thing.
I'm going to ask you. Lots of thoughts tonight. What are your initial knee-jerk reactions from one of the craziest games I have witnessed in a long, long time?
Well, actually, you summed it up pretty well in the beginning. I mean, the actual outcome didn't surprise me. Even when they were down 17-0, I had a feeling that they were going to come back. I mean, I've seen this time and time again. I wrote about it, you know, an article that was published today about these two teams. The Bengals always find a way to lose. Pittsburgh always finds a way to win. And that's sort of how it played out. But really, I'm as happy as I am to win. It's like, you know, you see Ryan Shazier, not that just getting carted off the field, but then you read all the reports online about how he's still struggling to have feeling in his legs. And, you know, first of all, you just hope he can walk. Second of all, you hope he can play football again. And third is you hope he can play this year again, in that order. So, because the most important part is his health and the fact that he's a human being and you want him to have a great life. So, it was a great win and a very important win to improve to 10-2. But, you know, they might be down their defensive leader for the rest of the year. And I kept, you know, I always text my brother, you know, at crucial parts of the game saying, time for a turnover. And I was Ryan Shazier. And tonight I had him in the back of my mind, but then I had to stop myself. Well, he's not even in the game. So, yeah, it cast a pall on what was a great win. But like you said, it really was a great win, and we'll take it.
Well, you know what? Back to what you said, I agree with you wholeheartedly, but I will give up number three watching Ryan Shazier play this year to get to number one, watching him walk again and have a healthy,
absolutely,
long life. And that's the most important thing for me. I watched the rest of this game, Tony, in a fog, as
yeah,
excited as I was. And you know how I – oh, great article, by the way. I wanted to mention that to you. That you mentioned your article on this game. I was in the other camp, and I'm a very optimistic Steeler fan. But this is the game that scared me all along. I texted Jeff Hartman today, editor from Behind the Steel Curtain. I told him, you know, they're not going to win this game. And he gave me crap for it, and he was right.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason I said that, too, is, like, I'm usually wrong on these things, so I'm just going to go out and say it, and maybe we'll get the reverse mojo. And I guess that's what happened. But lots of thoughts on this game, Tony. And my initial thought is this, and you've heard me say this all year long after the first few games. I think this is a team of destiny. I still think this,
yeah,
is team turmoil. I think this is a team that thrives on adversity for some reason. I'm not completely sure why, but this is a team that is just finding ways to win. When you're down 17-0 that late, they had no business. You had no thought that they would really win that game, but it kept creeping in the back of my head. It's like, you know, there's something if they could just hang in there. And when they ended up holding them to that field goal to make it 20-3, I believe it was, or I'm sorry, 20-10, at that point I'm like, all right, they could really come back in this game. So that was good to see. This team has a lot of fight in them. You know, if you just look at a guy like Vince Williams crying his eyes out on the field, those guys, the Shake and Bake brothers there, they are very tight. That you could tell that is a very tight team, especially on defense, and they play together. They had heavy hearts. It seems like Mike Tomlin did a very good job at halftime saying, hey, we still have a game to play. We still have to go out and,
yeah,
win this game. And they did come out fired up in the second half. Offense came out fired up. Defense came out fired up. They look like a completely different team. So, you always have those camps that talk about Mike Tomlin for discipline, lack of discipline, just being too much of a rah-rah guy. Well, if he is a rah-rah guy, he was a good one tonight. And, I am a big Mike Tomlin backer, and he wove some magic tonight by getting a team that had to have been completely demoralized. Because as a fan, I was demoralized and had nothing to do with a football game at all. I kept on thinking about Ryan Shazier the whole way. So really glad to see that they came out and won that game. You know, like Ben Roethlisberger said right after the game, they're praying for Ryan. They don't know anything right now either. What a comeback. What a... this could be another statement game where they could define the rest of their season all the way through. So lots to talk about. I don't even know where to start. I was trying to get all the stats. I don't have them in front of me as of yet, and I will try to get them. So I was not really even prepared for game balls throughout the whole day. So throughout the whole game. So I'm going to give you a minute to think about that, Tony, and we're going to go straight to the phones. And remember, this is your show, so simply dial in 347-850-8581 and let your voice be heard. We're going to go to a longtime caller, 347 area code. You are on the Steeler Final Score. Let's talk, my friend.
What's up, guys? Ken from New Jersey.
Ken, how are you,
Ken,
my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm watching the post game right now, and I got like NFL Network on hold. And you know, I think right now, man, we all just trying to really cope with the injuries and just the brutality of this game. It's really, I'm happy for the victory. You know, I really am. It's like, if we're going to go through a game like this, let's at least get the win. And I just kind of had like this big picture perspective throughout the game. Even when they were down 17-0, I kind of knew that they would come back and at least make it competitive, if not win the game. And of course, they did win it. So I'm still happy to see that they you know, put this stuff together to make sure that they took care of their business. You know, Antonio Brown, man, is just a warrior out there. You know, it was like this one play in the flat where he normally would have caught it and then ran it, but he couldn't even plant off that toe to do that. But, man, he's just a warrior. And these guys are close, you know. But, yeah, man, for Shazier to go down like that, and, you know, reports right now that he still can't feel anything in his legs. It's scary, you know. So this is just a game I didn't like Juju's hit on Vontaze, and I saw him doing it, and I was like, no, don't do it, because he's young and he thinks he's doing the right thing, you know. And it's like, that's not the right thing, and you saw it in his face afterwards. So, you know, this game is just, it's just ugly. It's a black mark. A negative mark on football, and it doesn't have to be this way. That playoff game was 2 years ago. You know, like, we can let it go and just play regular football. So overall, I'm glad we got the win. I'm glad we're 10-2, and we're learning how to, or getting used to it and expecting to win games. So those are my overall things. And what are some of your thoughts about that, guys?
Well, you know, let me start off with, you know, I mean, at first I thought Juju was going for the block, and I don't think he was intentionally trying to be dirty. He's going for it was a hit that he's probably going to get suspended for. He's definitely going to get fined. I would probably expect a one-game suspension because of that hit. I didn't have a problem with the hit as much, because that was very Hines Ward-esque, and they even showed it. They even showed the Hines Ward on Keith Rivers from 2008.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the taunting. I mean, that is Bengal football, and we did exactly what Burfict does that we condemn all the time. And, you know, I don't want to see Burfict, you know, I don't want to see Burfict get hurt either. I mean, these are human beings out there. And Burfict loses perspective of that all the time, but I still don't want to see him get hurt. Then it turns into George Aloka going and cracking. I'm like, gosh, he could have seriously injured Antonio Brown on that play. And it would have been retribution for the Juju hit. So, I mean, you know, it was a black mark on football. I wrote in the random thought, excuse me, not the random thoughts, the knee-jerk reaction column, that this game cannot afford to go to overtime because somebody might die. And I said it, you know, kind of as a joke, but also serious, that, I mean, I am surprised that there wasn't another major injury at the very end of that game. It got so chippy. It got so ugly. Exactly what a lot of our fears going in, that somebody was going to get majorly hurt, could have happened. Now, that excludes the Shazier play, because the Shazier play was, like Gruden said, and I don't agree with much of what Gruden says. But he was saying the guy was going for a tackle, and he had bad position, and he got hurt that way. So that, I'll give him that and say that, yes, that's where it happened. That wasn't any intention of being dirty. That was a play that was just bad luck. But as far as everything else goes, they're lucky that there weren't just major catastrophic injuries at the end of that game with the way both teams played. I'm not proud. I'm proud of the comeback. I'm not proud of some of the actions at the end of the game. Juju's young, and he's going, I mean, I love Juju. I think he's a great player. I'm not even going to condemn him. You just can't stand over a guy like that. But I could see, I can see where it comes into play, almost protecting your team. I have young puppies, and I watch them, like, stick up for the other, doing what they think is right with the other dogs, and it's they think they could come in and do that. And these are just small dogs, but that's what they know, because that's what they think they have to do, and that's almost what I think Juju was doing at that point. I am not going to say that it was okay, especially the taunting, but I did not. I thought it was a play that is illegal now because of the whole Hines Ward rule, but I thought it was Juju being Juju and being a blocker first, and he kept on doing it, not having a play like that, but he kept on blocking downfield. That's just in his DNA, and that's what he does. But
I think with
on the
Juju
other hand,
with the play, I'm just. I think he doesn't. He's a strong guy. He's strong. He's a big physical guy. To knock him, I mean, yes, Murphy didn't see it coming, but this guy knocked him out. And you know, I really didn't think it was dirty until I saw the replay. I was like, okay, he did kind of hit him on the chin, you know, and at the angle. But yeah, this guy's pretty strong. And you know, again, I just think he thought. Yes, I made a good play. I'm doing what's right. But if they showed his face a lot, and you could tell he just like really wanted to cry. Like, wow, what am I doing here? You know. So, it's a learning experience. It really is.
Yeah, that's true. Tony, weigh in here, because I talked a lot about that. Weigh in.
Well, as far as the Juju hit on Perfect, I mean, it was obviously a penalty, but I could see a young player. Not knowing that was a penalty, you're just out there trying to, you know, you have your running back. I mean, Bell is running really hard tonight. So, you know, you're out there and you're trying to finish off a play, trying to finish a run. And you see the villain and you take a shot at him. Yeah. But the taunting wasn't right at all. And I think he knew that after the fact, but at the same time, you know, I mean, how long has this been going on with Perfect? You know, the with these two teams, and he's the catalyst for it as far as the bad blood between them. And the game was kind of hard to watch at the end with all the shots, the hit on Brown on the touchdown. And it was a painful thing to watch. And I wouldn't be surprised if he winds up in the concussion protocol this week. But, you know, when you have this kind of ongoing, and it's not mutual respect. It's not like the Ravens and Steelers. This is actual hatred between two teams. You know, I mean, this stuff is going to continue, and I don't know what you can really do about it other than, like, suspend Juju for a game. I don't know. I mean, this has been going on for so long that it's. I just don't even know what to say about it other than when you allow a player to remain in the league who keeps doing the things that he does, it's kind of hard not to. You know, you're just going to have to expect stuff like this to keep happening.
Well, you know what? Something that I'm going to weigh in here, and then another thing that I was thinking, here come the boos, here come, and I think they're very myopic. I think they are very completely Cincinnati-sighted fans, which, you know, a lot of fans are, but these are some of the most uneducated, worst fans in football. And they think Pittsburgh's one of the dirtiest teams in the league, but they keep thinking that their own players, even Vontaze Burfict, is an angel and is persecuted. And I just don't, but they condone exactly everything that he does. And I'm not condoning what Juju did, but I'm just saying that I don't think it was intent at first. The taunting is what's going to get him suspended, because the taunting made it look a whole lot dirtier than I think the intent was.
Yeah.
But immediately now, you've got the fact that you know, Cincinnati fans are completely forgetting about the thing. This is the book This is the maestro of these plays. This is what made this entire game dirty, perfect. And let's go back to the first quarter when he gets into a fight with Le'Veon Bell that he completely started. Le'Veon Bell got the better of him and gets the penalty because he had him on the ground and got the better of him.
Yeah.
And then John Gruden's talking about how he had the foresight to walk away. No, he didn't walk away. He started it, and he just couldn't finish it.
Right.
So that's how I feel. Ken, what do you think about that? Am I off base here?
Yeah, you know what? What I feel about that, he made a wise move. So he knows that people are watching him. He baited Bell, and then he just kind of had his hands up and relented and did a little acting, and he got a penalty. I got no problem with that, by the way. Bell, you got to be smarter than that. So Bell got
But that's not taking the high road, though. That was a complete Ric Flair from the late 1980s move that looked like Ric Flair to me.
Right. I see that in other games and other rivalries. So I think I'm not going to put that in the dirty perfect category. I will say this: they better not suspend Juju for a game, because that was in the play of football. And we just saw yesterday that Rob Gronkowski, after the play, went straight at a guy's head, and he only got one game, and he's appealing. So I don't want to see any suspension or anything like that for Juju. He's a rookie, first-time offense. I don't want to see anything. I'm going to have a huge problem with that.
I don't know how you agree with you, but I just think the standing over probably paints a dirtier picture. And that's what
I think that's fine worthy.
What's that?
No, I said I think that he deserves a fine for that.
Oh, and he will get fined. I'm also thinking of suspensions coming here. But just because of the landscape of everything, I think that's, especially with what happened with Gronk and everything, they're trying to clean things up. And one of the reasons that, actually, if you want my opinion, the main reason that Gronk got suspended for a game was because the Buffalo player, Tre'Davious White? I think the main reason that was because he had a concussion. And the league is trying to clean up the head injuries. And the fact that that you have a shot to the head here, that's where I think he's also going to get suspended too. And standing over him, the taunting does not help. But, Ken, I appreciate the call.
Before we go,
always...
I got two just quick football points about the actual game. So, number one.
Let's do that.
I know. Yeah, let's see that. Outside of all the other shenanigans, right? So, number one, I know exactly how the New England Patriots feel. I was calm this whole game and had a feeling that the Steelers were going to come back and win the game. The Patriots are not worried about the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was evident to me watching this game. So we're going to have to do something big in that game to really change that whole dynamic. There is a mentality to the football, the sport of football. That's number one. Number two, I'd like, what do you guys think about Cam Sutton coming in the second half? When Sensabaugh was just stinking it up against A.J. Green, Sensabaugh, other than that, he had that play that got called back, I guess it was a foul on him, that they threw a touchdown on, but it was called back for the holding, which was horrible. There was some horrible officiating in this game, too, on both sides. But I like to see the first play that Cam Sutton got in, he broke up a play on the sideline. He's a little longer, a little more athletic than Sensabaugh. So I like that Tomlin actually put him in the game and said, let's make a change. So that's what I'll leave you to with those 2 points there. But once again, thanks for having me. And, hey, we're 10-2. I'm not complaining.
You got
Take
it,
care, Ken.
Thanks so much for calling. And, we have another late night coming up next week. And I look forward to hearing from you then, buddy.
All right, guys.
All righty. Love Ken from Jersey. That guy is a good caller. He knows his football. And, you know, let's talk about real quick what he had to say, especially the point with bringing Cam Sutton. Tony, I didn't think it was a bad move. I thought he did have some struggles in the second half. But, yeah, he did break up the first pass that was thrown his way immediately. And then, you know what? I mean, they started getting more pressure. And with the more pressure that they were getting, they weren't getting those passes off. They weren't, he was playing better. And I think that's going to help him get some footing. I would not be surprised to see him actually starting next week, possibly. You never know. That might be a move in the right direction. What do you think, Tony?
Well, it's funny that this happened tonight because a friend of mine and I, we were going back and forth all week about you know, how people were too overzealous for wanting to bring Cam Sutton in. And, you know, I mean, he had a point and because, you know, you just don't know anything about him other than, you know, his reputation coming into the league as a really good cover guy. But, you know, it's sensible getting what burned again in the first half on at least one touchdown. You had to make a change and the defense gave up 3 points in the second half. I mean, it's not that, they got a lot more pressure on Dalton in the second half, which certainly helped. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was really encouraging about for him to come in and he didn't necessarily look like a weak link at all, which you know you have to like it, and it gets you one game closer to the return of Joe Hayden. As far as New England not being afraid of Pittsburgh, it's like I've been saying. You just don't know until you play the game. I mean, if you're going on past history, then yeah, you know, maybe they don't have a chance against them, but we just don't know. We don't know until they play the game because every year's different. Every season's different. It's a different team now than it was even a year ago. It's a different secondary. So let's just see what happens when we get there. Hopefully they'll have the division wrapped up by then and we can just worry about the number one seed.
You know what, I don't think they are afraid of Pittsburgh, but I think they are smart enough to be cognizant of Pittsburgh and prepare correctly. That's what I think is the genius of Bill Belichick, and they will be completely prepared for that game. So that's really all I have to say about that. As far as everything else goes, you know, I agree with you. 10-2, let's not look past Baltimore. That is nothing, and you know they are coming on. They put up a lot of points last week. They look pretty good. Yeah. But back to Cam Sutton real quick. He did get bailed out on that holding. AJ Green had that long touchdown pass. He completely got bailed out on that play. But
I mean, he wouldn't. I mean, he's not the first. He's not the first cornerback that AJ Green.
No,
made look foolish. So you know,
and I'll agree with that too, Tony. I mean, it's nice to see. Look, we've got a bunch of callers on hold. We have 4 callers on hold, and we are going to get to all of them. Let's go ahead and start now with the one who's been waiting the longest. It's a 407 area code 864. You are on the Steeler Final Score. Who's this?
Hey guys, this is Dan in Austin, Texas.
Hey Dan.
Hey, Dan.
How are you, my friend?
I'm great. How are you guys? Thanks for doing the show.
Very good. Very good. With heavy hearts, but very good.
Yeah. This was probably one of the toughest games to watch in a long time.
I will definitely agree with that.
I'm glad we got that win.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, never expected them to expected them to be able to get back into the game, but I really didn't expect that outcome. And if you're a Cincinnati fan, I'm sure you're just absolutely shell-shocked once again. But what's on your mind?
I guess we want to talk about the game for a bit. Again, I think I'll give my game ball to Ben Roethlisberger for his great performance after that interception and bring the team back, you know, staying poised, playing, throwing really good balls. I think he had a great performance tonight.
You know what? I can agree with that. I think there's a few game balls on offense that could go around. You can look at a few of them, but Ben helped lead that, and he really overcame a lot as far as I'm concerned. He overcame being on the run a good bit of the night. He also overcame some key drops. So as far as everything went, I mean, I thought he had a pretty solid performance. What else is on your mind?
I just had a joke question. Is what do you think our over-under on the total fines for the game is? 100,000,
150,000? Oh, gosh. I got to take the over because I'm thinking Juju gets about 50. And Aloka is going to...
25.
I would think maybe let's take the under, because if we're looking at about if you're looking at about 150, it's just going to be, I think, really Juju and Aloka at this point, unless I'm missing somebody else. Tony, what do you think? Am I missing anybody?
Well, just the fight at the beginning of the game between Bell and Perfect, but I mean. Do they fine players for fight? I'm not sure, but
I mean,
yeah,
they
fine
Crabtree and
Tlaib, yeah,
but
yeah.
that was a whole lot. I mean, that was punches were thrown. I mean, that was I mean, that was a melee at that point between those two. I don't think I don't know if that's really a finable. I really couldn't see Perfect. Perfect's not going to get fined for this game, and Bell shouldn't really either.
Right. Probably under.
But right now, and boy, my head is in a fog tonight because of the whole Shazier injury, but that was such a weird game. It just seemed like, you know what this night reminded me of? You know that scene at the beginning of Independence Day when the spaceship comes in and then it just becomes dark over the entire world? It's just really dark. There was just a huge dark cloud, dark spaceship over the world of football tonight for me. So a lot of this is a blur. I want to go back and actually I hate to go back and rewatch this game again, but I'd like to analyze it a little bit more because I feel like I was out of it mentally after that injury.
Yeah, I agree. It was after Shazier left. It just seemed like it just didn't matter anymore. So, all right, they were losing 17-0, and he came back to tie it. I'm like, all right, they're probably going to win because this is what happens between these two teams. You've seen this script play out time and time again for decades, it seems like. But it just seemed like it mattered. Even if they, you know, even when Boswell kicked his game winner last week, I was like, yes, you know, same time and everything. And tonight I just, you know, all right, cool. When are we doing a show? You know, it just didn't seem like it mattered.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly there. Dan, real quick, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Is Juju going to get suspended?
I don't think so. I mean, I hope not. That's our Steeler bias. I agree with what one of you were saying before that. This was, or maybe it was Kevin, is that Ken that is,
I'm sorry.
Versus it, during the game, during the play versus far after the play, first offense, first major offense. I don't know if I'd suspend that. But
all right.
It definitely
well,
very
I
egregious
appreciate...
and totally needs to be fined.
Yeah, I do agree on that too. So, hey, I appreciate you calling in and, another late night next week, but a big, big game now because Baltimore's coming on, and we hope to hear from you next week, buddy.
Yep, thank you.
Have a good night, Kevin. Thanks.
Night.
Okay, I do have to apologize. I called him Dan, and his name was Kevin. So, but you know, I thank him for calling in. Let's go back to the phones right after this message from Frank Walker Law.
Smart or stupid? Those strobing lights in your rear view, that flashlight shining in your face.
License, registration, and insurance, please.
The little adventure you're about to have with this guy?
I'll need you to step out of the vehicle, please.
Okay, so you've done something stupid. fix it with a smart move.
For DUI or criminal defense, call Frank Walker of frankwalkerlaw.com. He knows his way around a courtroom. 412-532-6805. 412-532-6805 or frankwalkerlaw.com.
You know, Frank Walker Law would have been on the sidelines tonight. They could have passed out a lot of business cards, because I'm telling you what, that game was crazy tonight. But Frank Walker Law, real talk, real experience, real results. Tony, let's go back to the phones right now. 239-330. You're on the Steeler Final Score with Tony and Brian. Welcome.
Hey, guys. It's Caleb from Fort Myers. How you doing?
Hey, Caleb.
Hey, man.
How are you? Nice to hear from you again.
Yeah, man, for sure. Well, to start off with, I just want to send some prayers out to Shazier. As soon as that play happened, I didn't really see exactly what happened or what I just thought he might have had a stinger or maybe I don't really even know, hurt his shoulder. But as soon as he rolled over and they, I think it was John Gruden or maybe somebody else said that he wasn't moving his legs much. And when they immobilized his head, I was really concerned about that. And I just hope he can get healthy and get back out there, or just healthy in general. I just pray for the best, really.
Caleb, what concerned me the most is he grabbed his back immediately.
Yeah.
Before he rolled over. So it's that was one of the major concerns there for me. And so, yeah, and Tony did mention reports that, and I believe Ken mentioned some reports that he has not moved his legs yet. I haven't, I did not go on anything as far as during the game. I didn't go on any threads. I just watched the game. So that's something I don't know, but actually don't even know how accurate those reports are.
It's hard to speculate so far.
Pardon me?
I said it's hard to speculate because I'm sure everything's confidential so far. So it's really, you know, there's a lot of fog in the air as of right now.
Yeah, we've been through this over the last 25 years or so with Mike Utley from the Detroit Lions. I believe that was in 90, and Dennis Byrd from the New York Jets was 92. Definitely don't want to put Ryan Shazier into that category, and you pray that he's not. But I know those prayers are appreciated. So all of Steeler Nation is praying tonight. And for me, the final score, as satisfying as a 23-20 final score is, the most satisfying thing. I would trade that. I would trade the W to make sure that he does walk again.
Yes, 100%. And there's a another big thing I wanted to mention before go to another caller was that, I mean, the physicality of this game, it's pretty close to the wild card matchup we had a couple years ago. And it worries me because, you know, divisional games are always physical. And we got the Ravens next week. And then right after that, we got the juggernaut in New England. And, you know, with all the injuries, and we're going to be a beat-up team at home versus New England.
Hey, you know what? That's a major possibility, because you never walk away from a Ravens game. Caleb, you never walk away unscathed from playing Baltimore either. However, here's the thing. I would play Baltimore and respect the hell out of Baltimore any day of the week and twice on Sunday. I have, as much as I loathe the Ravens, especially because I don't know if you know this, I live in Maryland. I live about an hour from the stadium, and I just cannot stand the Ravens, but I do respect them. I cannot say the same thing about the Cincinnati Bengals. I have zero respect for Cincinnati, and I would have said that I did say that before the game.
I was actually surprised that they cheered for Shazier.
You know what? Because they think they do think Shazier is a dirty player because of the hit on Giovanni Bernard in that wild card game. I'm glad that they did. I'm glad that they did. That showed me something. Because when it all comes down to it, those are guys with hopes and dreams, just like the three of us on this phone conversation right now. And the fans are the same, and we have to remember that this is a game. And when it gets that chippy and that ugly, that it's just not necessary. But it has become a culture between these two teams, and it's quite ugly. We ran an article 2 years ago before that wild card game, but right after Vontaze Burfict knocked out Ben and was really dirty in that December game that they ended up winning, we're like, who is public enemy number one? The Bengals or the Ravens? And even Baltimore beatdown weighed in and said that, you know what, said the same thing. We respect Pittsburgh. We hate Pittsburgh, but we respect Pittsburgh. But we completely disrespect the Bengals. And that's the same sentiment you get from Steeler Nation about the Ravens and about the Bengals. Nobody respects the Bengals right now, and there's no reason to. There's no reason to whatsoever, because they play with intense thuggery and no regard for human life. And it almost seems like we stoop down to their level tonight, and in retaliation. And it had nothing to do with the Shazier hit, but you know, the Shazier hit is an isolated, completely different incident because that had really nothing to do with dirty play whatsoever.
I definitely feel that it took the wind out of our sails a little bit after, you know, Shazier went down. The defense's mentality, I mean, it was really early in the game to say that was a reason. If we were to lose, that's the reason why we lost. But, I mean, the Steelers definitely got pushed around a bit after that. I mean, until the second half, they were kind of getting their butts handed to them physically.
Well, yeah, Tony, I'll let you go in a second. For that reason, I'm giving my game ball to Mike Tomlin because he brought them back in this game. And we talked about it a little bit earlier. He weaved some magic in that locker room, and he got them back into it. So that's who's getting my game ball for offense and defense. Mike Tomlin gets it tonight. Go ahead, Tony.
Well, no, yeah, you made a good point. It seemed like after Shazier went out, it seemed like sides of the ball, offense and defense, they were just in a fog. We've used that word several times tonight. It's like we were in a fog. Imagine how they were feeling. That's their teammate and their friend. And it seemed like it took them up the touchdown by Cincinnati to really snap out of it. I think the bell, was it a screen pass at the end of the first half that led to the field goal? I think that was very big. For getting their head in the game and showed coming out in the second half. So kudos to Mike Tomlin for, you know, at a time where things could have really gotten even uglier than they were, he kept them together and he kept them composed. And we saw who the 9-2 team was and who the 5-7 team was. And we saw who the traditionally champion team was and who the never – has won a championship team was in the second half.
I'll agree with that. Caleb, thanks so much for calling. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, for sure, guys. Would you mind putting me on hold?
Yes, I will. I'll put you on hold right now, and thanks, and have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Take care.
All right, that was Caleb from Fort Myers. Great to hear from him. Tony, we're going to go back to the phones right now, but before we do that, if you throw out your game ball.
I'm going to give it to Le'Veon Bell because I think, first of all, I thought he played really hard. I thought he ran really, really hard after not just running the ball, but even after catching the ball. I think he really finished plays off tonight. And, you know, like I mentioned, the screen pass at the end of the first half that led to the field goal. And then the little check down pass where, I mean, William Jackson made a really just goofy, just mental gaffe by letting him laying him down the sideline.
You know, saw that happen, I could almost hear Chris Berman go, whoop.
Yeah.
Just like,
I mean, he thought the other guy was
going to
chase him
out.
Whoa,
what's going on? Whoa, he's going.
Yeah.
You
almost
wanted to shout to William Jackson like that. Go get him, dude. What are you doing?
just put finger on him and shove him out of bounds. I guess he thought the other guy was just gonna shove him out of bounds, and he just let up. But still, I thought it was a big play by Bell there, and to get him back in the game. So my game ball goes to.
I'm sorry. I was just saying, I don't think I've ever seen a play like that.
I've never either. Then again, it's the Steelers and Bengals, so, you know.
Yeah,
you never know
what you're going to get. Let's go to 832-256. I know who this is. I know this is a perennial caller. We are glad to have you on the final score. What's up?
What's happening, gentlemen? How y'all doing tonight?
We've got heavy hearts, but we're excited about a win.
Well, first off, prayers to Ryan Shazier. After it happened, I pulled out my phone. I was on Twitter the whole time trying to get a tidbit. I do see here that Ed Bouchette with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette did post. He said, some good news coming out from the Steelers. Two players called Shazier's injury a spinal cord contusion comparable to Tommy Maddox's injury in 2002. Maddox missed one game. Encouraging news, another said. And I saw another post from Jerry Dulac that had said that from a team sources that it was not as bad as first thought and that the news was encouraging. So that was good to hear. As far as Shazier is concerned, I'm with you on my game ball. Mike Tomlin, I mean, Mike Tomlin, period. As much hell as he gets. And as much as I was screaming, do not challenge that call because we're going to lose a timeout and we may need it later. As much as I was screaming at the TV, he found a way to get this team to come together. And as he says all the time, come out of the stadium with a win. That's all he wants to do is come out of the stadium with a win. I'm with Tony on Le'Veon Bell. That man ran tonight like he was possessed. He finished runs. For me, that fourth and one when he broke down the right side and trucked a mere corner, for me, I know the play when he went down the sideline, everybody gave up, but for me, that was a definitive run along with the pass he got out of the backfield, had the presence of mind to stay in bounds on our last drive to make sure that the clock kept running. My other game ball, I got to give it to Ben. I don't know what it is about the second half. It's almost like Ben's like, you know what, I'm tired of fooling around. It's time for me to – let me go ahead and do what I can do now. It's time for me to go ahead and show that I am an elite Hall of Fame quarterback. I wish he would do it in the first half, but I don't know what it is. That second half comes on because, remember, gentlemen, we were down 17-0 on the road against a division opponent that hates our guts.
Yeah, and in one of the most hostile places to play
environment
for them.
Yes. We give up 3 points on the second half. Period.
Yeah.
3 points. With a third-string linebacker, inside linebacker, and a third-string corner. I mean, you got to give it to Coach Tomlin. He gets so much
I don't think he gets nearly enough credit. I've been saying it for years. I don't know what it is, but I mean, you can't argue the record. You can't argue the consistency. I mean, people talk about you know the drama, but I mean what happens on the field is, to me, that's the greatest barometer of how disciplined a football team is. And if this team is out of control. You know, we've seen other talented teams around the league the years, just self-destruct. We see it time and time again with the Bengals, who have a pretty talented roster overall, right? And they can't do anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, you got to give the guy credit. He's an unbelievable coach. At worst, he's the second-best coach in the NFL, and really, that's not that bad when you consider that the best coach might be the greatest coach of all time in a lot of people's eyes. So I don't think Tomlin gets nearly enough credit, and he probably never will. So,
well, you know, he will. He will. And I'll tell you when he will. When he's retired and the next guy
mm-hmm.
is. Because that's the
mm-hmm.
way he goes. Because
mm-hmm.
Bill Cowher took a lot of crap, especially in 98, 99, 2000. People wanted him out of there. And he couldn't do anything right at that point. And it was just the point because he wasn't Chuck Knoll. And now Mike Tomlin's not Bill Cowher, but Mike Tomlin's had just as much success in Super Bowls as same record in Super Bowls as Bill Cowher.
He has the exact same resume.
So at this point, but you look at his record, it is just absolutely spectacular. People don't realize he has never had a losing season. A losing season in Pittsburgh is 8-8, but that's not a losing season. Actually, I mean, some teams would kill.
Well,
I remember you think Cleveland fans wouldn't kill for 8-8 a lot? Detroit fans for the longest time would have killed for 8-8. There's a lot of teams that 8-8 is a good mark. 8-8 is Armageddon in Pittsburgh. And that's what you get with Mike Tomlin. The man is 10-2. I have never seen the Steelers in my the only time in my lifetime as a Steeler fan that I was completely cognizant of it, seeing them better than 10-2 was Ben's rookie year when they went 15-1.
I was just gonna say when I get on Twitter and I start having epic arguments about Mike Tomlin, I drop the mic when I say, well, okay, fine, who are you gonna hire? And then you hear crickets. Then you hear crickets.
Yes.
I'm like, okay,
not
you
only
know what?
Who
I can
are
fire.
You going to hire? Not only that, but how many teams are gonna line up for his services?
He don't have a job before he gets off the North Shore. He don't have a job before he gets off the North Shore. He don't have a job. He will walk out. He will hang up the phone, walk out of his office with a job. Just like that.
But they lose next
That's
week
true.
Against Baltimore. It's all his fault because that
right.
we don't appreciate what we have. It's like that Cinderella song from 1990. You don't know what you got till it's gone. And we don't appreciate what we have until it's gone. And that's exactly how I feel about Mike Tomlin. I'm glad they have not run him out the door. I'm glad he's as resilient as he is, because I think he's completely resilient. And I think he is the perfect coach for this team. He's a perfect coach for team turmoil to keep them together. Not many coaches will keep this team with all the drama and all the crap that happens here together, and he keeps them together. And Jeff Hartman talks all the time about how they rally around Mike Tomlin. And I said today, I'm not going to lie, I said all week they're going to lose this game against Cincinnati. And I wasn't saying it after kickoff. I was just saying they're going to lose this game. It just seems it's going in the wrong direction. I'm glad I'm wrong. And then Jeff said to me, he's like, no, they will play for Mike Tomlin. They will have his back, and they will make sure they win this game for Mike Tomlin. And
The only two things I'm going to say, and then I'm going to go. One, my friends who know I'm diehard, they always want to call me, and they always want to talk a lot of trash when we're down. And I tell them, I said, the only time I get worried when I watch my Steelers play, because I know my team's identity, I look at what the score is when about 8 to 6 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, first part of the fourth quarter. I pay attention to it, but I don't get upset. I don't get unnerved, because this team has shown us, a part of Steeler Nation, time and time again. They're never out of it. And the second thing I was going to say is a paraphrase from Martin Luther King. So you can't judge, you know, you judge a man's character when everything is going crazy around them and see how resilient they are. Anybody can have great character when there's no tribulation and there's no obstacles in front of them. But whenever you have a tribulation, you have an obstacle, you end up having players that you expect to play and they can't play. And yet at the end of the day, you still find a way to come out with a W. I mean, I really can't say anything else. We just need to go ahead and buckle down. You know, we find out about Shazier. People can get calm. The next man up, because Manatevic may be out. So I think that we might see James Harrison, because I really, and I know I don't want to take too much time, but I really think we can go ahead and slide Harrison on that outside and either put TJ in the middle, or we can put Bud in the middle. Because if we have a problem with that inside linebacker position, and Cam Sutton, stay there until Joe gets there. Tessa Baugh, he's a former Cowboy. And that's the only team I hate in life are the Cowboys, period. End of story. It's the devil taxes Cowboys. That's for me. But, gentlemen, you guys enjoy the night. Once again, I'm smiling. We're 10-2. We got a tough game, but we're at home. And the next time you hear from me, I will be in Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, because I will call in. But I appreciate the win, guys, and you guys have a good night. And keep me on hold because I'm still driving.
All right, keep on smiling, Melvin. Melvin from Dallas, yeah. I love hearing from that guy, and I love when Melvin's smiling. Tony, I got to tell you, I did not know those reports from Duloc and Bouchette. And I tell you what, I respect everything that those guys write. And they have the pulse of the team. And those guys, if they're reporting that, then to me it's gospel. As far as that goes. So I'm really glad to hear that. I remember the Tommy Maddox play in 2002. It was against Tennessee. I thought he was I was praying for him. And I tell you what, I completely forgot about it until Melvin brought that up. I remember just feeling so scared watching Tommy Maddox lay on the turf like that. And he did come back and, you know, being a quarterback, came back and struggled the first game, but they kept on winning. And he led them to the playoffs that year. So that could be good news. Wow, that could be really good news. See, that's something I wasn't combing the internet. I know you were. I hope that is the case. But once again, the way I was feeling earlier tonight and all throughout this call, I'll trade him playing another down this year to make sure that he's okay. That's just the mentality I have right now. So, thoughts.
Oh yeah, it's very encouraging. I mean, I believe just about everything that Bouchette and Duloc say, because they're the two closest fighters that write for them locally, so they know their stuff better than just about anybody. So yeah, if they're saying that, and that's encouraging, and I quite frankly, I don't care if he misses the last four games as long as he's okay. But
yeah.
If he's back in a game or two, then it's the best of everything. So, yeah. But
that's gravy at this point, because
yeah,
I just want to see the man
right.
walk.
Right,
that's
exactly.
All I want to do is see this man
right.
walk.
Right.
So, and I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, but.
Oh no! I mean, that was a scary, scary sight. I mean,
wow,
you never want to see anybody get paralyzed playing a game of football.
No, you definitely don't. Let's go back to the phones. 859-699, you are on the final score with Tony and Brian. Welcome.
Hey, guys. I wish I could do a Ric Flair woo tonight, but I just can't.
Louisville, right?
Yep, that's right.
All right, good to hear from you. Yeah, it's not really a Ric Flair night, but
I haven't been this depressed after a win ever.
Well, got to tell you what Melvin reported that was being reported by Jerry Dulac and Ed Bouchette, that it looks like it's a possible spinal contusion, the same as we saw from Tommy Maddox back in 2002, where he missed one game. And like Tony and I are saying, we don't care how many games he misses this season. We want to make sure he walks. So I feel a little bit of the fog has been lifted. I feel a little bit better about that. But it's still until it's gospel, until we know that it is reality, we're going to worry. So the prayers still go out. But if you put that depression aside, your thoughts on the actual game?
Well, you all were talking about the Mike Tomlin haters out there in Steeler Nation, and kind of what's wrong with them. I kind of have the same reaction with some of the people that I was reading on the Juju hit, like trying to justify it as it's perfect and eye for an eye, tit for tat, you know, that type of stuff. It was a dirty hit, and then he taunted him, and I can't get behind that.
You know what, I agree with you on that, and the stance that Tony and I are taking is I don't think it was intentionally meant to be dirty. I don't feel like he had malevolent intent to go in and maim perfect.
I don't either, but
but taunting,
it's similar to
standing over him,
yeah,
makes it feel that way.
Yeah,
right. And the whole, I mean, one of the big things that we've always been the most mad about Burfict about was whenever he tackled Le'Veon Bell and then celebrated when he was laying there hurt. And then
exactly,
we give him hell about that constantly, and then all of a sudden we do it to him. And there's 50% of the fans that I'm reading online are saying it's justified and, like, way
not
to go,
justified.
Juju.
If Vontaze Burfict was paralyzed, if he was paralyzed because of a hit like that, if something happened to him because of a hit like that, no. He's a human being that does not deserve to be killed, injured, maimed, seriously injured. You know, no, he doesn't. I mean, I will not get behind any of that justification. Now, I will go back a year ago when David DeCastro put his head down because Burfict was going after his knees and knocked him out. Not for the game, but knocked him out for a second. I thought that was justified because he was going for a dirty play.
Right.
Seriously hurt.
Right. I don't want our fan base to be dragged at Cincinnati Jungle, you know? Like,
no,
to be able to highlight, you know, 10 comments and then all of a sudden, you know, we're a dirty fan base glorifying dirty hits, which I think the majority of us don't feel that way.
No, I mean, I we don't. And like I said, a year ago when he was going after DeCastro's knees, I was like, and he put his head down to get back at him. I loved it. I loved to see him knocked on his butt because of it, because he got what he deserved
pancaking him.
What's that?
Remember when Foster rode him down the ground and smacked him down there?
Yeah, that's when you reap what you sow. But when it goes to the point where your livelihood, your life becomes in jeopardy, you know, I can't get behind that. So I would never say that. You know, the most satisfying for me, and Tony, I'm sure you would agree, would be the fact that when you beat a team at full strength.
Yep.
That's and when there are no injuries and you go ahead and beat that team, when they have all their guns ablazing and you become the better team, that's what's most satisfying. You know, as you know, there's people that wanted Gronk to be suspended for 2 games, so he doesn't play against Pittsburgh. I want to beat the Patriots with Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. I want to beat them at their best. In fact,
yeah.
I want to beat them with Julian Edelman in there too. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I know he's not going to be playing this year, but you know, I want to beat that team at its finest. That's what I want. So, you know, so I agree with you completely on that.
On a
Tony DeFeo.
Ben Roethlisberger.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, on a positive note, Ben Roethlisberger is looking like prime Ben Roethlisberger at this point.
That's for sure. Tony DeFeo, we did not get Road Ben tonight. We got prime
Ben,
didn't. But not Road Ben.
We got Ohio Ben.
Ohio Ben. There's so many
Paul Brown Stadium.
There's so many Bens.
He looked really. He looked like he was like the most in command he's ever been. The game, the touchdown, and no doubt they're the field goal range and follow Brown. He looked like, you know, the best player in that drive. But yeah, I think he definitely found his posture. I hope he rides it enough, at least.
Okay, I'm having trouble with your line there. It doesn't sound completely clean on the other end. I agree with what I thought I heard you say about Ben. It just seems like he is he has risen to the point where he is in full control of this team, and he is he's on a mission, and that's
and
exactly how I feel.
At least 3 games in a row now, so that's a good sign. Going forward.
And especially down the stretch. So, I mean, they have a quarter of the season left, and he really looks like he's in control. So, hey, thanks so much for calling, and we will talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, man.
All right,
see
buddy.
You, man.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right, Tony. Thanks. So, there you have it. We've got a lot of excitement from Steeler Nation, possibly some relief. On the Ryan Shazier situation, Tony DeFeo, I think with 4 more games to go, we're finding out exactly what this team is, and I think the best word to describe them would be resilient.
Yeah, they're definitely resilient. I mean, there's just everybody keeps saying they don't have an identity. This is their identity, and it's been their identity through 12 games now. They just find a way to win at the end, and whenever they're down by 2 or 3 scores, even the Chicago game, they were down by a couple of touchdowns. They lost the game, but they came back, forced overtime. So you never feel like they're out of it. And to me, that's their identity, is resiliency. And my final thought is next week, just win the AFC North. They win next week, then they're the North champs again.
Yeah, I agree. It's over, and I really think the way that Baltimore is playing right now, that could be a statement win too. That I got to tell you, coming into this game, Cincinnati was looking like a much better team, and they completely. I mean, Cincinnati's done now. I would say that they are knocked out of the playoffs, not officially, not mathematically, but probably spiritually after losing this game. And I don't think they are going to rebound from this, nor do I think Baltimore will let them rebound. They are looking like they're looking like a true playoff team, and the entire from 1 to 6 right now looks very strong, and there's a huge drop-off after the 6th seed at this point. And that includes Buffalo on the other side of that with just – I don't believe in Buffalo at this point either. So with that being said, a lot of emotions, a lot with everything, just something that just came across the wire right now. And it's just it's Juju Smith-Schuster apologizing for taunting, and he just wanted to throw a block for his teammate. And I got to tell you, that's what we thought all along. You know, a lot of people, especially in Cincinnati, are going to say those are just words. But, you know, I truly believe that's what he was doing. He has that – he's been coached by Hines Ward in the offseason. He has that Hines Ward mentality. He is a blocker. He was going to throw a block. I don't think the intent was to hurt. I think it was to deliver a big hit, and that's what he's backing up with what he's saying. But the taunting was letting the emotion get the most of him, and that's exactly what happened. So at that point, we've got one more game. And I know there's four games left, but one more game, and the only game you need to think about is the next game, and it's the Baltimore Ravens. So forget about December 17th. December 10th is the most important game on the schedule. It's at home at Heinz Field against the Kings from the Charm City coming in, the Baltimore Ravens, and I got to tell you, that is going to be another fantastic game, and unfortunately another late night for us. I'm going to be happy, yeah. Tony, when I get my Sundays at 9 p.m. back.
Me too. But I'm really looking forward
What's that, buddy? Having trouble with your line again. So at this point, Tony, as always, thank you. And I will, for Tony DeFeo and Behind the Steel Curtain, brought to you by Frank Walker Law, I am Brian Anthony Davis. The final score tonight was Pittsburgh 23, Cincinnati 20, in one of the craziest games we've seen in a long, long time. We will see you next week, Steeler Nation. Thank you so much, and God bless.